let's make sure that we're only targeting the people who are really trying to distribute drugs. We're not targeting people with addiction.
Now, all I can say is that the NIL, what's going on right now, is we need to just make sure that the young people had an opportunity to put some guardrails on.
I have been trying to take on the predatory car booting industry in the state of Georgia.
You got booted, right?
And it's not even about that, Donna. Listen.
Welcome to Lawmaker Spotlight. I'm Donna Lowry. Here you will find in-depth interviews with Georgia lawmakers and leaders on the issues driving the legislative session. These conversations go beyond the headlines to explore how decisions are made and what they mean for you and your community.
We're going to talk about several bills with our guests, and joining us is Democratic Representative Dewey McClain of Lawrenceville. His committees include industry and labor, motor vehicles, and state planning and community affairs. Also with us is Democratic Senator Josh McLaurin of Sandy Springs. He is Secretary of the Veterans, Military, and Homeland Security Committee, and another of his committees is Economic Development and Tourism. Welcome to Lawmakers to both of you.
Thank you.
I appreciate this.
Great to be here.
We're going to start with you, Senator McLaurin, actually. We're going to start with you. Let's talk about the bipartisan anti-fentanyl legislation that targets traffickers. What's behind that bill?
Sure.
Exactly?
So we've worked on fentanyl the last couple of years, but the thing that I brought up that the minority party was with me on is we want to make sure that in our efforts to curb the amount of fentanyl on streets, that we don't go too far and criminalize people who are struggling with addiction, because addiction is a disease. It requires mental health treatment. What we really need is resources for those people. And there was a problem with the bill that it criminalized people just for having not just fentanyl, but any drugs that might have a trace of fentanyl. And it only required them to possess it to charge them with trafficking. And so the point that we were trying to make is, let's make sure that we're only targeting the people who are really trying to distribute drugs. We're not targeting people with addiction who might just have some, but really need treatment more than anything.
And that went through. You had a few chances to make it go, but it...
It was actually an amazing moment. I have told people it was one of the coolest moments I've seen in 8 years of me being here, because you had an argument or full debate, and then the majority said, you know what, let's amend the bill, let's make it better, and then it was a bipartisan compromise that passed unanimously.
Okay. I want to switch to you because I have McLaurin and McClain today. Okay. So, Representative McClain, you're a signer on HB 383, the Georgia High School NIL Protection Act. And for those of you who don't know, you are a former pro football player, a linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons for 5 years. And of course, they didn't have NIL contracts back then. What are your thoughts on them overall?
Well, not all I can say is that the NIL, what's going on right now, is we need to just make sure that the young people had an opportunity to put some guardrails on, because if we didn't want a young person to sign a 10-year contract at a ninth grade, and then it'd follow him through college, it'll follow him, you know, 2 years, 3 years in the pros. So we wanted to make sure once he became 18 or he got out of high school, he could get a new NIL. And that's what that was more also about, and everybody loved it because you know, sometimes parents do get involved and they want to make sure Johnny or Carol gets all the money they can get, or they can too if they sign a loan contract. And we didn't want that.
You do like NIL contracts, though.
That is probably, you know, I kind of wonder where it was when I was growing up, because, you know, all I got was more of it was a hamburger and a hot dog. But it wasn't NIL. But what's going on right now is, you know, they should be paid.
Okay. And so we're putting the protections in because they really are young when they're coming in at ninth grade doing that kind of thing. All right. Back to the other Mac, McLaurin. What protections are in it? Let's talk a little bit about you served on, I'm sorry, you're opposing the changes made in HB 61. The Senate included language in the bill to tighten restrictions on staying in extended stay hotels.
Sure. So the Supreme Court of Georgia ruled that people have certain rights when they stay in these extended stay places, right? It's not just like a hotel that you book for one or two nights. These extended stay places have become sort of an alternative to homelessness for people who really can't afford stable housing. And it's not just by accident. These extended stay locations, when they advertise, their ads say things like stay one night, stay forever. So they're specifically trying to attract folks who are housing housing insecure. So this bill, I didn't like the bill. I voted against the bill. HB 61 essentially makes it harder for people to stay in extended stay if they lapse on payment or if the owner comes up with another excuse to kick them out. And it makes it mandatory for law enforcement to come and charge those people with criminal trespass. That is not an answer to homelessness, in my opinion. And what I really would like to see is there to be tenant protection. So what I did was I tried to introduce an amendment that at 90 days of being in an extended stay, you have the protections of a renter or a tenant under Georgia law. That amendment failed. I did have bipartisan support on that, but it ultimately didn't go through. And I just think that we need to be having an honest conversation about how bad some people have it. And we shouldn't be making it harder on those people to try to find stable housing.
Okay. Well, we'll keep up with that. Let's switch to the other Mac. You also served as the founding member and president of the Metro Atlanta chapter of the National Football League's Player Association. Mm-hmm. You were part of all of that, and the North Georgia Labor Council, AFL-CIO. So one issue that you've pushed quite a bit is raising the minimum wage. So talk about that a little bit, your passion for that.
You're very passionate about that, because you've got to realize that the minimum wage in Georgia, which a lot of folks don't know, is $5.15 an hour. I mean, and that's what's in code, 515.
That's right.
And I tell people, you know, when I started out in 2013, trying to do $15 an hour, which I thought at that time was $31,000 a year. But then you think about shelter, you think about transportation, you think about food, you think about clothing, insurance, and things like that. $31,000 gross is not a lot. But you fast forward 13 years, and I really felt that 15 shouldn't be the number. But since I hadn't gotten 15, why would I go to 25 or why would I go to 20? And what I did on 394 2 years ago, what a lot of folks don't know, Donna, which I was very disappointed about, was that we've got roughly between 22 and 23% of state employees that make less than $15 an hour, which is sad when we've got a state that has roughly 15, 16 billion surplus, but you can't even pay the people that help you get the surplus a $15 minimum wage. Yeah. So yes, if you give me some money, I can go buy some things that I need. What would I would get a better car, I'd get a better place to stay. I might even go out and have a little entertainment. But the bills were $3.94 and $3.95, and I'll say the chairman was, well, he gave hearings only, but we've got to do better. We've got to do better by the people that serve us in Georgia.
Yeah, you'll always care about those kinds of issues, so I appreciate that. And we're going to talk about what's happening with you in just a moment, but I want to get to you, Senator McLaurin. You fought to go after another thing, was you fought to go after booting vehicles.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
This is my crusade.
I know it.
That's right. For years now, I have been trying to take on the predatory car booting industry in the state of Georgia.
You got booted, right?
And it's not even about that, Donna. Listen. Maybe I know people who got booted, but okay. That is not what prompted this legislation. Okay. It's not a selfish thing. So, now look, if you have driven a car in Atlanta, you either know somebody that's gotten booted or you've been booted yourself, and a lot of people tell stories about how predatory it is. People who live in an apartment complex get booted in their own lots, even when they have the sticker up. They might have a tire that touches the line. They might, you know, have fat-fingered some kind of a, you know, accidentally put in their license plate wrong, right? And so these are reasons or justifications the booting industry will use to charge you $75 and immobilize you where you can't leave the lot. What if you've got small kids? What if it's 10 p.m. at night, right? You can tell I've talked about this before. So the bottom line is I had a bill to finally once and for all end this predatory industry. There's plenty of alternatives. You can ticket cars. You can do controlled access. You can tow, and towing would be a lot more infrequent. It would not happen as often as booting happens. And so people's fears about what would happen if we got rid of booting are really unjustified. It is a predatory industry, and it is fleecing drivers all across cities and the state.
And so that's your passion. We just talked about his passion. Okay. And let's talk about what happens next. You're getting ready to retire.
Yeah. Now, well, 13 years in the house has been great. And now I'll get a chance to spend more time with my children, my grandchildren, and my wife, too. So yeah. I'm looking forward to spend a little more time. You know, in fact, when I came here years ago as a pro football player, that was one thing. So one thing just led to another and to another. So now it's like, okay, so let's spend some time with the family and before they get older. I always tell people that 13 years ago, my 8-month-old was, he's 13 now. My 5-year-old, Evan, he's 18. And Daniel, my 9-year-old at that time, he's 22. And then Darian is 30. My 17-year-old is 30. So, wow. So what about some time. So I'm looking forward.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for everything you've done down here. You're moving on, too, from the senator.
One way
position.
Or another. One way or another. Representative McClain
running
and I
for
have
lieutenant
some in,
governor.
We have some in common, which is we won't be back as members next year. I am running for lieutenant governor, and if I lose, I'll be somewhere else. If I win, I'll be right back in the Senate, just to have a different seat. So.
All righty. But I think both of you will keep up your passion on the things that you really care about, and we appreciate
Very
that.
Nice.
So thank you so much.
That wraps up this episode of Lawmaker Spotlight. These conversations are part of the reporting you see on Lawmakers, our nightly show on GPB-TV, covering the Georgia General Assembly. You can watch us weeknights for updates, interviews, and analysis from under the Gold Dome. I'm Donna Lowry. Thanks for being here.